This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A reason to celebrate, right? When we have the day off, some of you do. Day sure. Out of school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can celebrate that.
We can celebrate that. And the storms we had here yesterday have rolled through, and looking out, and looks like we're going to have a much nicer day outside.
It's cold, though.
But yeah, it is cold. It is
That cold has come in.
That storm came through, and boy, the wind that was blowing all day yesterday, the breeze yesterday was kind of hawkish.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in Chicago, but we got something that felt a little bit like it yesterday.
It was 70 degrees here a couple weeks ago. I know it was fake spring, but I'm not enjoying this.
No. Hopefully this will be short-lived here. Hopefully we get this another week or two of this, and we can get on to things, because we're starting to see the little pink things on the end of some of the trees.
We're seeing daffodils start to come to bloom, and that's not going to last.
You know what I mean? So we don't want those things to go bad. So, hey, we want things to come trending in the right direction for that. But glad that you're with us on this morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's see, what do we have coming up for you? Sports coming up on Thursday. The Hawks will be back at work. Of course, they had the All-Star break. They're back at work at home against Orlando. Here, the game here this is coming up on Thursday. Pre-game at 7, tip at 7:30 with Steve Holman, the voice of Atlanta Hawks, and see if they can pick up where they left off with the momentum they had going with the new came onto the trade deadline activity. So let's see if they can do that and continue to go. And also, Atlanta United, the curtain goes up on the 2025 season this Saturday north of the border in Montreal.
We're here.
You're here.
They're coming
You're
down
here.
South of the border. Okay. I don't want to go to Montreal right now. No.
Ooh, that would be bad.
Don't send me to Montreal, Sam.
Where were we talking to you last year and it was cold?
It was Toronto early
Toronto,
in the season.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
And then they put us outside to call that game under a tent. It was 15-degree wind chill. They didn't put us in a booth.
I remember that.
I was mad.
When we talked to you.
I talked about it the next week with you guys because that morning when we talked day, they gave us snow on the ground. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, they're going to take care of us.
Right.
No. They rolled a space heater out there under a tent when it's 15-degree wind chill. Like, that's going to do something.
So the pregame on Saturday will be 6:30, the kick at 7:30 from the Benz. Coming up with this roster that we're going to get into as we go along this morning, but getting you set for Atlanta United. But coming up this week, we're going to have NASCAR here in town. And we just had the race last night, Daytona 500. William for the second consecutive year. Jimmy Johnson finishing the top. Sometimes you just have to know, especially, you know, at a place like Daytona. And we talked with Adam Alexander yesterday, and it's kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah.
You know, whoever first does not mean you're going to win this thing, you know. And especially yesterday after they had a long rain delay, three-hour and a half rain delay. They go back out there and they race into the night. And, you know you're going to have some people who are not going to want to give, you know, in there. And you're going to have a few mishaps. And there were a number of mishaps that took place in this race.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the bigger tracks, that's just what it's turned into at this point. You know, having pole position is nice, but it doesn't guarantee you anything because you get down to that last stretch of the race and people get desperate and people get aggressive and cars end up rolling over and running into walls.
Yeah, big time, big time. So you had that in your top contenders. And, you know, either you want to hang out back in the back or try to be up ahead of all of it. Sometimes even the guys up front will get hit and get taken out.
Yeah, and the guys in the back can't get through it.
Right, you know, so it's all a part of the strategy when you're racing super speedways, like at Daytona, like at Talladega. But really, a track that kind of imitates that kind of racing style is here at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and that's what we can with the Ambetter Health 400. And shout out to the crew down there. They're ready for people to come out there and have a good time, enjoy racing action. The 21st, 22nd, 23rd, qualifying is taking place for the Xfinity Series, Truck Series. It's coming up on Friday. We got qualifying happening there. Then those races take place on Saturday. You know, you have your Xfinity Series race, your Truck Series race going on Saturday. And then your Cup Series race comes up on Sunday, the Ambetter Health 400. They're going to have great entertainment, great music there, and also great racing. They get the race kind of a super speedway style. Now, with the reconfigured layout there at Atlanta Motor Speedway, always a great time. Daniel Suarez won this race a year ago and an awesome finish. So you look to see what happens. And with Chase Elliott being from Georgia, people are going to pull for him. And you know what happens if he wins. They blow the siren up at the Dawsonville pool room.
Yeah, the pool room still all these years.
That's what happens, man. If somebody named Elliott wins, either Chase or his dad, they go out and they have that thing going off. So they've done it one time this year already. He won the Clash up at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem. So
Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, still one of the greatest nicknames in sports.
And he was that on the track. He was that all the time, you know, and most one of the most popular drivers ever in the sport. And, you know, Chase has been a chip off the old block. He's been able to do quite well in his career as well. So NASCAR rolling our way this week. But like we said earlier, we do have Atlanta United getting started. And one thing we talked about a little bit yesterday, we talked about the international influence. We feel like that maybe we see that with what the NHL is doing this past mm-hmm. weekend, with in lieu of All-Star Game having this international type tournament, which seems to create excitement and some great fights Saturday night between Canada and USA. I thought that was fantastic. They dropped the puck, and here go the puck went one way, and the gloves went the other, and here come the fists. Drew me in.
Yeah.
You know, and then there was some great hockey that was played out there. So, you know, it, like you said, is the sentiment of U.S. versus other countries. You're saying what we saw with the NBA, maybe that drives things in that direction a little bit. And I just think that's kind of the influence we're seeing really from what we see here in Atlanta with Atlanta United, the international influence as well.
Yeah, I think soccer in the U.S. is kind of reversed from a lot of that, where the national teams carry the conversation more here than maybe in some other countries. And you've been able to create Major League Soccer and the NWSL off of the backs of the national team interest and excitement. But it's a symbiotic relationship. You want both to be thriving. When didn't qualify for the World Cup in 2018, I think soccer in the country took a little bit of a hit. You know, it's rebounded. Everything's fine. When the women weren't winning trophies,
right.
Okay, if we're wrong, what's happening? It created conversation. Then they go out and they win the gold medal. It's a great opportunity now with what we're seeing in this city specifically. I've said it, Atlanta Soccer City, USA. You know, you can go back to the early, early days of soccer in this city where it was basically created from scratch. And all those seeds that were planted back in the 60s and the 70s have now fully come to bloom. Now Atlanta is the soccer city in the United States. U.S. Soccer Federation going to set up shop here.
Right.
You're going to have more because of that. You're going to have more men's national team games, more women's national team games here. We've seen international friendlies with huge crowds. The Premier League came to town. They wanted to take advantage of that. FIFA coming to town now with the World Cup next year, the Club World Cup this year. All of those feed into this ecosystem that we have for soccer in Atlanta that is driven day by day by day by Atlanta United.
Jason, you followed this scene for so many years here in Atlanta, and maybe the influence that it has nationally, but did it even surprise you of the influence internationally? When we were able to fill up the stadium and the people across the pond said, whoa, what are you guys doing over there?
It's not a surprise. It's maybe a surprise in how fast it happened. Like, I knew those building blocks were there, and I knew that Arthur Blank was the person to actually build the house. That's been the issue with soccer in Atlanta over the years, is you've had people who have tried to do it at a professional level, but it's been in a lower division league, or it's been done on a lower scale, and the resources weren't there to make it a big deal. When Arthur launched Atlanta United, it was Atlanta United and the Falcons side by side. Not big brother, little brother, equal. And that was massive. And the fact that we're sitting here talking about it on the biggest sports talk radio station in the Southeast tells you a lot. It's just part of that conversation. So that's changed it. That's different here than it is in Seattle and Portland,
right,
in LA and Chicago, in New York. Great areas for soccer in this country. They're not doing this right now. These conversations aren't being had about how women's soccer and women's basketball are parallels and how all of these things that we're talking about, that doesn't happen. So because of all of that, Atlanta is getting eyeballs, not just nationally, but internationally. Because when you pop up a game, I do it all the time. I watch games from all over the world. And you pull up a game and you see a huge crowd. You're like, oh, cool, where's that? What's the deal there? You know, I looked down this weekend. There was a huge game in Argentina in Rosario, where Lionel Messi's from. And it's Newell's Old Boys and Rosario Central. And it's one of the most intense rivalries in the world. It's two teams in the same city. So it's split. You know, you got red and black on one side. You got blue and yellow on the other. It's a huge rivalry. I'm like, oh, cool, I want to learn about that. So when you're in England, when you're in Spain, when you're in Africa, when you're in Asia, and you see highlights, and you see, wow, that's a huge crowd. That's a great goal from that team in red and black. What is this? You want to learn about it.
Yeah.
And that's what's cool about soccer, is whereas the Falcons might not get that attention in some of those parts of the world, the Hawks might not get it, the Braves might not get it, soccer's universal. So people around the world will learn about our city because of the soccer team.
See, they'll learn about it, but they'll want to move here. That's the other problem. And we've already run out of lanes.
Yeah.
We have no more room to build any more lanes on our freeway because we're still building. And this is from 96 that we're still dealing with, right?
I will consistently say it. Being here during that, it's amazing that we pulled that Olympics off. It's absolutely amazing because we were not ready for it. 10 years later, we were ready for it. Now, I don't know if we'd be ready for an Olympics, but it took 10 years to catch up.
Right.
But that's the thing, is I think we take it for granted in a way here, because if you are a soccer player, and we talk about this with MLS and recruiting players and bringing them to this league. If you're a soccer player, you know New York. If you're outside the United States, you know New York, you know Chicago, you know Miami, you know Los Angeles. These are cities that resonate internationally. Atlanta does too. We forget that sometimes,
yeah,
right here.
Yeah.
You know, whether we're talking music, whether we're talking sports, whether we're talking hosting an Olympics, now hosting World Cup semifinal next year.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta is on the map internationally, and soccer is a big reason why.
Yeah, and people come, and some of their businesses and their corporate offices are there.
Mercedes-Benz.
You know, how about that, right?
There's quite a few of them.
You know what I mean? So it attracts that. It's good business for our area as well when sports grooms and blows in soccer. And
they can move a little bit further away. You know, we can work on this and make sure they can come into Atlanta when they need to, but we can spread the joy.
We can spread the wealth. They just want
to
be around here, and of course, in great proximity to the airport, right?
That's
the bottom line.
Look at U.S. soccer down there in Trillith.
That's what happens. That's exactly what happens, folks. All right, we're going to have some football talk, about some NFL talk. Russell Baxter is going to join us on this week after the Super Bowl. Always great to catch up with him. That is coming up when you stay with us. We're in for the morning shift. Sam is in here along with Jason, and we got Noel other side of the glass. You stay with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9thegame.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Glad you're with us on this President's Day Monday morning. You got Sam and Jason in for the morning shift. And we're in for Greg, too, because Greg is on assignment. That's all we're going to say.
Working on some special documentaries about pop icons of the 80s.
Really?
Yes, that's what I heard.
Pop icons of the 80s. We'll see if that's what he's doing. Or he could be making a side trip to Bucky's. We don't know.
That, too.
I'll tell you what we do know when we hear that music of Supremes on our show. We know we're getting ready to talk some NFL. Russell Baxter joining us now on the waitforit.com hotline. Russell, welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. I think my pop was an icon in the 80s.
See, Jason, he started already.
I know. I like it.
Week after the Super Bowl, and we got you with it. It's President's Day. Do you go to President's Day sales?
No, but on my Twitter account, I can still say Twitter, right?
Yeah, you can. Go ahead.
It works.
Okay. So, you know, which I don't understand. If it's Twitter X, is the Twitter now X Twitter? Makes no sense to me. Anyway, if you go on my X account, whatever you want to call it, I do my annual countdown to President's Day.
Yes.
Taking some liberties with some NFL names.
I noticed that.
Okay. So,
right.
You know, and I had to update it because, you know, we got Aaron Donald Trump and we got Donald Trump Driver. So, but some of them are easy. I mean, you know, Washington Adams, Flozell Adams.
Now I got to ask you. I got to ask you something. Did you do these? Did you put? Did you pass any of these along to Chris Berman back in the day?
Well, you know, Chris. It would depend on the situation.
Okay.
Okay. First off, Chris is the king. Okay, but as you know, working on the show with him, you know, we were allowed to contribute as far as certain nicknames and stuff like that. The beauty of doing NFL primetime was sitting in that room for about 6 hours and watching the games together. That was really where the show was formed.
Yeah.
And if it was a funny day in the room, it was a funny show. And if the football was bad, it wasn't necessarily a great show. Okay. But, and I always tell people too, with Tommy and Chris, when they would do those late games at, you know, the 4 o'clock or the 4:25s or whatever.
Right.
And the production assistants who cut the highlights and hand them the shot sheets and they do the highlights on the fly. That was really what made primetime special. Yeah. But I think it's safe to say in 22 years with him, I might've dabbled in a nickname or two and so on, but everybody, Chris Mortensen, God bless him. And other people in the room and so on. So we had an absolute ball watching those games. And I was lucky enough, I was able to bring my family up. Some of my brothers, my mother and father came up a couple of times. My mother made lasagna for the whole crew.
Whoa.
God rest their soul and so on. Yes, I know they're all still full, and that was 29 years ago. So, but it was... to answer your question, and you know me, I never answer anything in 10 seconds. Yes. Yes, we had a lot of fun. And, Chris is still doing NFL primetime with Booger McFarlane on ESPN Plus, and I was in touch with him recently. And so he's such a joy. I will see him at a golf tournament this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will see him in Canton in August. And I, more than any other year, I cannot wait to get to the Hall of Fame because two men I worked with, Sterling Sharp and Eric Allen, are being enshrined in Canton.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sterling Sharp, who is from here in Georgia, we are very, very proud of him.
I will always remember the era of primetime when the Falcons got hot in the early 90s.
Yes, and I know what's coming. Go ahead.
Yeah, every time Dion would do something, we waited for it. Me and my dad watching that show after the day of games. Primetime. We would just go nuts every time for that.
Well, I always thought that was one of my favorite Boomer nickname, without question, is Eric sleeping with the enemy.
I just
think it's so incredibly clever. But Andre Bad Moon Rising wasn't far off. Okay. And, he did this stuff on the fly. If you would sit there, people ask me, after people I work with, Chris and Tommy just had that natural chemistry. It was like Mel Kiper. People were like, Mel Kiper this, and what he did. I would sit in a room or a car driving back from New York with Mel Kiper. That stuff flowed out of him. Nothing in front of him. I mean, you know what that is? That's passion and love for what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, folks. We're spending time this morning on waitforit.com hotline. Always a treat when we get the time to spend some time with this man, Russell Baxter. He is social. You can find him always at Bax Football Guru, at Bax Football Guru. Russell, how do you spend this time when we start talking about, free agency moving around or combines and then the draft? The draft, which has become such a great production. I think about the days when it was just two guys sitting there with a helmet and a phone.
And the helmet phones.
Right. And now it's something where you find the backstories, and there's so much that goes on with it. It's so intriguing. It's become this incredible production.
All right, I've got a confession to make.
Uh-oh.
Before I got into this business and was hoping to get into this business, I worked at Kmart. I worked at a resort. I started putting stuff into a newsletter in 1983, which, you know, do the math. And I was always hoping that one day I would be an NFL writer. And accidentally, I discovered the NFL draft one day on ESPN. I think it was 1982 was the first one I saw, even though they did it before then. And for some odd reason, I would always get sick and have to call out for my job. And this is when the NFL draft was on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock.
Oh, no.
On ESPN, and then they ran for 10 hours. And I developed these flu-like symptoms the night before the NFL draft. So obviously, I didn't want to get anybody else sick, so I'd call out. And then, of course, in 1991, all of a sudden, I'm working on the draft for ESPN.
Okay.
I mean, how lucky am I?
Wow.
And did it for 20 years. With, you know, Jay Rothman and Fred Godelli and, of course, Boomer and Mel and, you know, Tommy and Chris Fowler would be involved. And it grew and grew and grew and became, now it's, you know, it's like it's James Cameron, Cecil B. DeMille quality.
as far as
everything get puts into it and so on. But it really caught fire. Mel had a lot to do with that, with putting out his book. And people, guys like Joel Buschbaum from Pro Football Weekly were draft nicks before it was even fashionable. The first drafts I did were at the Marriott Marquis in New York City.
Okay.
And about 400 fans were allowed to sit up in the balcony. Then it moved to Madison Square Garden. There was one year at the Jacob Javits Center, Radio City, and now it's like the traveling road show. And God, you can tell no one really cares about it because they get like a 500,000 people in the city for it. So.
The one out in Vegas was unbelievable.
The first two years in Chicago, they knew they had something. Okay, I remember trying to go down and get into the one in Philadelphia a number of years ago. We couldn't even get in because you would have thought the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Oh, that's right, the Eagles did win the Super Bowl. you know, that was kind of like a parade type atmosphere. And this year, I mean, how can you get any better than this historically? The draft is going to be at Lambeau Field in Green Bay.
That's such an interesting setup. Like, we've seen it in some of these big cities. We saw, you know, I think of Broadway in Nashville and what that looked like.
Right, Nashville
but
was awesome.
Green Bay is the heart of the NFL in a lot of ways. I can't wait to see what the draft looks like and feels like there.
Yeah, and the idea that it's not relegated to a building and they use outside venues and it becomes a 3-day, you know, in essence, a 3-day block party.
Yeah.
And, you know, great for the economy, great for the city, great for these young men who get to go places. Now, later they'll probably go there in their careers and play and so on. But it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the international games. These young men and these and people affiliated with teams get to make trips to places they probably would have never gone for. England, and, you know, now we're talking about Dublin, Ireland down the road, and Mexico City, and all this. That's one of the reasons I'm a big proponent of the international series, because it gives these young men and their families a chance to go places they've probably never gone before.
And never thought they would go there playing this game, this game of football. Pretty remarkable stuff. All right, before we let you go, let's put some pressure on these guys in Philadelphia. What are the odds, you think, of them being back with a chance to do this again next year?
Well, you know, it's not like they haven't done this before. But, of course, when they went back in 2018, it didn't work out for them. Eventually, they lost the Saints in the divisional round. The key, I think, is going to be how much of their defense they can retain. Young man Milton Williams had a big Super Bowl against the Chiefs. He can hit free agency. Zach Bond, oh, my God, the steal of free agency, okay? I signed him to a one-year, $3.5 million deal this offseason. He became a starter. He became a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro, led the team in tackles. You know, if the Eagles don't offer him big money, somebody will. But, you know, the key to that game, we can talk about, and, you know, the balance on that team, Howie Roseman, the general manager,
builds these football teams in the trenches. And that's why, you know, there are two Super Bowls since 2017. Two different head coaches, two different starting quarterbacks, overcome their share of injuries. And there were many people who said, this offseason, what are the Eagles going to do without Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelsey? The answer? Dominate the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely did that. Absolutely, absolutely. Russell, we appreciate you spending some time with us on this President's Day Monday. We have to, you know, Jason, we have to catch him when we can. And Greg's away. Greg's on assignment. We don't know where he is. But Jason's here with me this morning.
It sounds like he's hanging out with either REM or the B-52s. Which one is it?
REM's my all-time favorite, so there we go.
Yeah, that's where it may be. It's where it may be.
Hey, this one goes out to the one I love.
Russell, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to catch up with you.
All right, guys. Take care. Talk to you soon.
You too. Have a good one.
All right, Russell Baxter. Once again, he is social. You can follow him at Bax Football Guru and see some of these names. He's playing off the names of presidents on there. It's pretty clever and something fun that he likes to do. All right, coming up next, it's been the All-Star Weekend for the NBA. Hawks are getting ready to get back to work. Of course, the Hawks were represented at the NBA All-Star Weekend, and we'll hear from one of them and his thoughts on the new format. Now, that's coming up next. You stay with us on this Monday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
At one point, I knew all the words.
Did you?
At one point, yes. It's not easy to do.
No, not at all.
Huge REM fan. Definitely my all-time favorite.
I just wait to yell Leonard Bernstein.
It is Sam, it is Jason, it is Noel, in for the morning shift on this President's Day holiday Monday morning. Glad you're with us, wherever you may be around the area, if you're just waking up or if you're having to go to work today at all, or if you're off work today. There are some people who do have to work all the time. Those are essential workers, and, you know, we appreciate their work. People have to be there. Wow, people out of law enforcement, our fire and rescue. People who work in the ERs at our hospitals, they can't take days off. They have to be there. So we salute all of them today, knowing that they have to be in while others may be off.
But our retail workers, too.
Yes, retail workers.
Long time working retail, and every holiday, we were there.
Well, the retail workers have to work today because this is a big retail day.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen an item that you – of course, President's Day sales are all over with a multiplicity of things. I noticed this iRobot, this thing that goes, you know, put it on the floor and mm-hmm. let it go just limp. $119. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty good deal for one of those things. I don't know if you see something jump out at you.
All the mattress sales is the weirdest thing to me. I'm like, why did that become the thing on President's Day?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but they are. You got a bunch of different mattresses from every make, every designer, every person you can think of. Wayfair's got some stuff. What's this thing here?
Something. Kelly Clarkson's getting paid.
Yes, she is. She's got a bunch of sale items and that's remarkable. So, I mean, just I'm not going to tell you where they all are because I don't want the folks at our sales department downstairs to get upset with us.
They didn't come do any deals with us.
No, I don't. We won't no problems with them. But they are some out there, and some people look forward to this day for that purpose.
It's funny, President's Day, we were talking about the names with Russell Baxter before. This is an interesting element of the international soccer community. In Brazil, players go by nicknames.
Right.
Pelé was not his birth name. So a lot of times you see names in Portuguese that are nicknames, might have been a childhood nickname, things like that. But then you also see some names for Brazilian soccer players that you're like, what? They've had a thing about players being named after U.S. presidents.
Really?
Like, I'll be watching a game from Brazil, and the announcers will be going in Portuguese, and then it's Lincoln. And I'm like, what? Lincoln? What? There was a fullback who went for a pretty big move here recently named John Kennedy.
Really?
Like, okay.
Wow.
Washington. I've seen a Washington in Brazil. But Lincoln was the one that threw me the most. I'm like, what? Okay.
That one just kind of jumped out at you.
Yeah, it's just Brazilian soccer is its own animal of chaos, and it's highly entertaining. And you'll get these random names that you're like, why, how, okay, whatever.
Speaking of entertaining, was it entertaining or not? We're talking about the NBA All-Star Weekend that just finished after with Team Shaq, the OGs, winning in this team tournament. And Steph Curry being the MVP, of course, them playing in San Francisco, being on his home court. One thing he did, I did hear him say, he hopes he hasn't played his last game at Oracle, which is the old place over in Oakland where they won their championships. And the building was such a weapon for them. I understand that place is so loud because of the way it's constructed. And so, he said, I hope that I get to play another game there. They went there to practice. I think they held a practice there, had some other events there. But the main game was now in what is now the new home for the Golden State Warriors in San Francisco. But the weekend had those things, those elements we look forward to seeing, the Rising Stars game, celebrities get a chance to be a part of it. And like I said before, it's the photo, right? It's the photo op. It's all the greats currently, well, a lot of the greats from the past that show up. The Saturday night is still an event, even though we don't get anybody big to take part, in the All-Star game, in the All-Star game slam dunk competition. You talked about Ja Morant. Who is it that we really would get, to take part in that thing that will pump some life back into it?
You put Giannis in that thing, people would be watching.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Ja and Giannis, and they were, I think, going back and forth a little bit about it on social media afterwards. Get into it. We've seen that before. I think LeBron's tweeted about it in the past when, somebody does something special in the dunk contest. Jump in. Do it. It would be a big thing to elevate the Saturday night. But I think the Saturday night is okay. It's the Sunday.
The Sunday night, right?
It's the actual meat and potatoes of the weekend that, look, I mean, the conversation coming out of it is not positive. It's not positive from people who participated in it. We'll hear from Trae Young here in a second. It's not positive from the commentary perspective. A lot of that was back and forth about this is boring. This is not good. Like, that's not what you want right now.
No.
They've got to find a format that has some element of compelling the viewers to watch and to talk about it in a positive way.
Yep, and that's what they hope for out of this weekend. They decided to do something different, four teams and a little mini tournament to see if people like that. And you mentioned Trae Young. He did represent the Hawks. He did get a chance to take part in it, which we were all happy for him. We just wanted to go out there, have some fun in it, no type of injury to come back because of what the team is doing. But you had some thoughts. You heard some thoughts from him, right?
Yeah, Trae Young was asked about the format of this event, which is not really an all-star game anymore. It's like an all-star mini tournament. Here's what Trae Young had to say after that.
What do you think of the new format, Trae? Did you like that?
No, I didn't like it at all, to be honest with you. I don't know what the fans' reaction is yet and things like that, but I think it's like too many breaks, you know what I'm saying? It's too long of a break, and guys are over there, ready to play and stuff like that. I thought it was very competitive at the beginning, but then as the games kept going on, I think it was just too long of breaks, for sure. Yeah.
3 hours, I think, with all these different breaks in between it, that's something that Draymond Green talked about as well. It didn't work. It didn't work. Now, the one thing that you might be able to take out of it is you kind of accidentally ended up into a format with the final of this little mini tournament that you might be able to build on with essentially Team USA versus the rest of the world. That could have a compelling story out of it. To do that, just do that. Have the two all-star teams be a U.S.-based players,
right,
players from the United States that could represent the United States against a rest-of-the-world all-star team. I would want to watch that. That would be good. I didn't like this format at all. It didn't interest me.
Yeah, and I think especially the direction that the NBA draft is going, the top players in draft the last two drafts, or been foreign players who are coming in and ready to be faces of this league. Wimbiana, face it. I mean, he's going to be one of the faces of this basketball association going forward.
And if you have Wimby, Giannis, you put them on a team against the best American talent in an all-star game, it's an all-star game. They're not going to play a ton of defense, but it gets back to the what you want to see in this, where all right, it's wide open, it's entertaining, you're looking for alley-oops, you're looking for fun moments, but you get down to the last 5 minutes of the game, and things tighten up, and it starts to feel like a real game.
I don't know. Noel's ready to come in here, and I know it brings about a little bit of that Olympic feel. You bring a little pride involved in this, too. Now, just drop a little, sprinkle a little of that into your mix, right?
Yeah, that would be an interesting format. Like Jason was saying, to see a Luka and Jokic and Giannis and everybody be
on
one side of the squad.
International team.
Yeah, that international team's going to be pretty.
Yeah, it's going to be stacked. It's going to be stacked on that side. But again, like that may have, you know, deeper implications for the league as a whole. Like, people may dig in harder and, you know, go harder when they play and all of that good stuff. So, and we're not the only people that's hit on this this idea of U.S. versus the world or country-based teams, because The Athletic threw out an article today basically asking the exact same thing. Like, should the NBA take a cue from the NHL on how to move this all-star thing forward? But the one thing I did like yesterday that I was surprised, I liked the jerseys.
Okay.
I was surprised.
Okay. Yeah, they did a pretty good job with that, because I had not liked them
in
the past.
Years.
Yeah. But they did okay. The one that was kind of the teal, that was a little bit of the throwback to the 90s ones, that worked.
Yeah, I like that one. I like the one Troy had. It was like red,
yeah, the
but
red
the lettering
one.
Was Warriors colors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To like show you was in San Francisco. So I was like, oh, I kind of like the way that that looked. So I was shocked that I liked that. But the thing that got me about the All-Star Games, like, I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was swamped with other things. But I looked to go find highlights, and all I found were complaints.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, y'all have to fix this.
That was what jumped out to me.
All I saw was complaints.
You know, yeah, I'm looking.
No LeBron.
No. Nobody.
No star power. The game's boring. Too many breaks. The game didn't start on time. It was just a list of complaints.
Yeah.
So they have to fix that part.
It wasn't about the basketball. And that's the problem, is if you've – this has got to be a celebration. That's what I keep coming back to with an All-Star game. It's got to be a celebration of your league. It's not going to be about the game having, you know, the most intensity. No. It's not going to have that. It's an All-Star game.
And really,
but it's got to be a celebration.
You wanted it to be that, though, considering the NBA had been pretty dominant in the news cycle in the last week with all the trade deadline happenings.
Yeah, and all that's gone now. Now,
right.
All everybody's going to talk about until they get back onto the court for games that matter is that format didn't work. That's all we're going to talk about all day. That's not what the NBA needs. So change it. Sit down right now. Plan it for next year. Get it right. I think it's USA versus the world. I think that's an easy thing to do. That would have you talking between now and next year. Who's going to be on Team USA in this?
Yeah.
You know, is it an opportunity for the next Olympics to start recruiting guys to represent the U.S.? Does that play into it? Who's going to be on that World All-Star team? How do they get all of these great international players to fit into a team? That's going to be cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking forward to see if that happens, because to me, it would make it something that would be entertaining and also some passion.
Yeah.
And people who get to play it will mean something to be a part of that team. So
if you don't do that, do East versus West. I think the captains picking teams kind of thing,
yeah,
or celebrities picking teams, it just doesn't work.
And it's stuff you're trying to do for TV engagement, like you want to do a TV draft. And like, even the format, I think, was the worst of the best of the NBA All-Star. To our point, it's the photo op and all of the greatness in one room and all of that good stuff. And I think that's what they were trying to do with the four teams, with the coaches, having them involved and all of that. That was the one flop. Like, I saw what you were trying to do, but I think it took too long and it was too convoluted and all that good stuff. I think the Rising Star game from, what was it, at 2018, 19, mm-hmm. where they did World versus USA,
I think
that was really fun. I remember the Trey versus Luka and the two of them trying to see if this half-court wild throw-up three was going to hit or not, and everybody having a good time but still being competitive.
Right.
I think it would be that times 10 now that they're veterans.
That's what you do. Do that, and then you want to incorporate the legends, have them as honorary captains with the teams. They bring the teams out before the game. All those little elements of pageantry.
Yeah.
Bring that
to it.
That's what you need. But USA versus the world is the way to go.
All right. All right, folks. We're headed for the 8 o'clock hour, and you want to stay with us because we're going to have a little bit of a casting call. I think Greg left us a casting call, a little bit of that. We're going to talk about a big Saturday Night Live weekend that culminated with 3 hours last night that saw a host, a cavalcade, if you will, of those that we've enjoyed over the years on the show. Eric Jackson's going to join us from Sportico. Going to get some things about our local market, about some teams and some leagues from the business perspective of sports. But up next, we're going to talk some Falcons football as we start the 8 o'clock hour on this President's Day Monday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.